Democrats hating on conservative women isn't anything new, but what they're trying to do in Iowa's 2nd congressional district is pretty blatant and pretty unconstitutional. Stay tuned for more. This is the Smart Girl Politics Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Smart Girl Politics Podcast. I am Terry Kristoff. Happy to be back. I've been a little inconsistent lately, and as I've talked about in the newsletter, which is called Fierce, if you want to go subscribe, fierce.substack.com. Yes, I'm a Substacker for now. We've been trying to move out of Virginia, and maybe I'll do a podcast dedicated especially to that instead of this. This episode is just kind of the e-newsletter that covers the most recent newsletter, Fierce, in which I cover the GOP freshman women in Congress. The inconsistency with the podcast is mostly due to me quitting my job to help my youngest child, who is 13. She has been struggling this last year, as a lot of 13-year-olds and kids of all ages and adults and everybody have been, trying to get her a little bit back on track with school. And then we're also moving out of Virginia, which is has been my home for many, many, many years. So we've had enough, and it's pretty blatant, and I'm actually writing something, hopefully to get it put in the Federalist right now, to kind of talk about our experience and what's going on here. Anyway, so that's kind of been why I've been MIA a lot lately, especially with the podcast. I've been pretty good about keeping the newsletter going every week, but the podcast has kind of been hit or miss. But we do have an offer on our house, so we will be closing in April and then renting back for 2 months, and we have no clue where we're going. It could be Florida. It's probably Florida, but it might be Tennessee. It might be Alabama. We don't know. We don't have a place yet. So it's a little bit interesting right now. It's a little crazy, but when you know it's time to go, you know it's time to go. And that part, yep, done deal. We out. We are not happy with this place anymore. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Anyway, so that's kind of a little explanation about where I've been and why it's inconsistent. And I really hope to get on a better schedule and pump out some more content for you all, because I really like doing it. Anyway, that's a little bit about me. Hope you all are doing well. Hope everybody is happy, healthy, thriving, and just overall doing well. Again, this is my audio newsletter. If you would like to subscribe to the free weekly newsletter that hits your inbox, that is over at fierce.substack.com. Would love to have you as a subscriber. It's free, and I try not to go too long, try to be concise. But anyway, this is the audio newsletter, so you know what? Let's just jump right in. I entitled the newsletter, "Democrats Are Still Waging a War Against Women," or conservative women, to be specific. All right, here we go. I said happy Saturday, because now my newsletter's going out on Saturday. If you get my emails, you'll know that I sent out a short email at the end of last week explaining that going forward, the newsletter will hit inboxes over the weekend instead of on Friday. There have been a lot of Thursday night votes, Thursday evening, Thursday night, Friday, or in the wee hours of the morning. So getting it out on Friday was becoming a little bit of a problem for me just to try and go through. There's been a lot of important legislation, I think, as we've covered in the newsletter, and I want to make sure that I can cover that in that week's newsletter. So we're going to push it probably to Saturday. It might be a Saturday to Sunday thing. I know, consistency. I know. Here's my kid texting me, "What can I have for dinner?" I just made her dinner. Just made her dinner, and she won't eat it. We're having issues here. Anyway, so Saturday, probably Saturday, maybe Sunday, depending on if it's been a big legislative work week and I need to kind of dig through that. So just to let you know, that's what we're doing with the newsletter. I've been mentioning in recent newsletters how we're looking to sell our house in Virginia and to relocate to a freedom-loving state. Well, we have an offer on our house. We didn't even have to put it on the market. We connected with a family who really wanted to live on our street, and well, that was that. Personal stories do help. This lady that is buying her house, this family, but the mom of the family, she has been wanting a house on her street, and she's been dogged about it, and she has been leaving notes, and she connected with me on Facebook from a mom's group, and she told the story of how she could see her family living here. We live right next to a Catholic church, which is what we go to, which is wonderful. It's literally like three houses down. She really wants that, so she played on my heartstrings a little bit. We named a number. Another couple wanted to get that, get an offer in too, so they had to raise their... Anyway, it worked out real, real well for us. So, yay! I'm hoping that the new family will be happy and healthy here, and that for their sake, Loudoun County, where we live, where we're soon to not live, will get its act together, because I think if you pay attention to news sources, particularly of the conservative variety, you'll have heard about Loudoun County. We're the ones that have Dr. Seuss Day without Dr. Seuss. We have the new thing that came out last week reported in the Daily Wire, which was a wonderful piece, but enraging, is about a group of local parents and school board members and even a Commonwealth's attorney who have a little group, a little Facebook group, in which they are going after and docs, they're threatening. I don't think they got that far. They got exposed before it happened, but they were threatening to dox parents who were against reopening schools, who are against critical race theory being taught in these schools. So it's just nonsense here. And I know we could have stayed to fight, but it's someone else's fight at this point. We're going somewhere else. Anyway, it's good. We out. So in today's edition, or last week's edition, or in this audio newsletter edition, we are covering Nancy Pelosi trying to steal the seat out from under Representative Marionette Miller Meeks. Democrats are also trying to remove Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a popular one. She's an interesting one from the House. They're trying to get her ousted completely. And the House voted on two important immigration bills this week. All right, let's dive in. I'm not breaking any news by stating that Democrats and their media mouthpieces have been waging a war against conservative women for many years now. They went through Sarah Palin's trash after John McCain named her his running mate in 2008. For goodness sake, they went through her trash, then proceeded to belittle, harass, and demean her and her family at every opportunity. I don't need to go into it. Y'all know it's true. When Michelle Bachmann and Carly Fiorina launched presidential campaigns, the left gave up any pretense of being feminist by mocking their looks and generally treating them as political lightweights who had no business throwing their hats into the ring. Conservative women know that being in politics means taking slings and arrows from the left on a regular basis. And I point to my friend Dana Lash, who I've known for a long time now. She takes it all the time. She gives it, but she takes it too. But what they're trying to do here in particular, and we're going to dive into that, is pretty blatantly awful. Nancy Pelosi and her fellow Democrats are trying to do right now, what they're trying to do is to take their anti-woman agenda to an all-time low. They are trying to steal a seat from Marionette Miller Meeks, a Republican who represents Iowa's 2nd Congressional District. I wrote about it, and it's linked. I will link to this newsletter, which has a link to what I wrote about over at Bongino.com. But here are some of the lowlights. Miller Meeks beat her Democrat opponent, Rita Hart, by a slim 6-vote margin. Both Miller Meeks and Hart had representatives from their campaign and from their parties, Democrats and Republicans, and some registered independents. They were present when the votes were counted and recounted. There was a count, there's a recount, and then there was another recount. So there were a couple recounts, and it all came out to the same thing. The same result was that Miller Meeks beat Hart. This is very slim, but you know, the winner's the winner. Iowa state election officials certified Miller Meeks as the winner, and she was subsequently sworn into office in January. Hart, ever the sore loser, has bypassed traditional means to challenge the election, for example, going to Iowa's state Supreme Court, which is the correct way of doing it. Instead, she's making it political, and she brought her case directly to the House of Representatives, which, as we all know, is controlled by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. Speaker Pelosi and House Democrats are taking the unusual and possibly unconstitutional, probably unconstitutional, step of hearing Rita Hart's case and deciding who should get the seat. So you can see where this is headed. Pelosi has a very weak grasp on the speaker's gavel, and only 9 seats keep her party in the majority. So she needs more votes for her caucus, and I think we all know she'll do anything to get them. To unseat Miller Meeks would be a great injustice to the voters of Iowa's 2nd District, who would essentially be disenfranchised, and to the authority of the state itself to certify its elections. I mean, that's how it works in this country. And as far as we knew, Nancy Pelosi was in favor of states certifying their election when it had to do with Donald Trump. Well, I'll keep you updated on what happens next, but I'll admit to having very little confidence in Pelosi to do the right thing here and keep Miller Meeks in her seat. Just to make things worse, House Democrats are also trying to have Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene expelled from the House. You'll recall that they, along with a handful of Republicans and some of the women of the freshman class, unfortunately, successfully voted to remove her from her committee assignments. Now they want her completely gone from the House. Democrat congressman, a liberal male, of course, because they are the ones that hate conservative women the absolute most. His name is Jimmy Gomez. He's from California, naturally. Introduced the following resolution, which was co-sponsored by radicals like AOC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So I included the resolution. It's like four sentences. It's one paragraph. It's one sentence, one paragraph. Even Nancy Pelosi doesn't support this resolution. Just to strengthen their anti-woman bona fides, House Democrats rejected a Republican resolution to have Democrat Congressman Eric Swalwell removed from the House Intelligence Committee due to his close ties to a suspected Chinese spy. So that's okay. That's fine. Sleep with a Chinese spy. Cheat on your wife. Be a complete scumbag. That's fine. But be Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, yes, maybe some loopy thoughts have come out of her mouth. That's okay. She has not compromised national security. So if you're keeping score at home, that's two conservative women Democrats are trying to force from the House and one liberal male who is allowed to stay after compromising national security. So war on women, baby. War on women. I include a good clip of Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert. They are both serve with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Marionette Miller Meeks in the House talking about the Democrat war on conservative women. So you can go over to the newsletter and watch that clip. And then as a palate cleanser, I include some quotes from Lauren Boebert driving the liberals at Newsweek insane by besting them at their own game. Here's the quote from the Newsweek article. "We all want equality, right?" Boebert said. "Must be a fantastic bill. Well, the Constitution right there in the preamble says that we are all equal. We have a 14th Amendment that says all men, and it's okay to say men as a gender-neutral term, all men are created equal, are equal under the law." Boebert, who was wearing a firearm strapped to her thigh, woo, as she spoke, was cheered for her comments about the 14th Amendment, which was passed in 1868. "You know, I've decided I don't want Democrats to call me Congresswoman," Boebert said. "I want them to acknowledge that man is a gender-neutral term, and they can call me Congressman Boebert." So I love it the way she needles them. She just digs in, and they just fall for it every time because they got nothing else to do, apparently. Nothing else to talk about. No border crisis, no nothing. Just got to talk about this stuff. Anyway, it's pretty great. And it makes me think about Marsha Blackburn. She's, of course, a senator from Tennessee, where we might end up living. But when she was in the House, she also wanted to be called Congressman, and she was called Congressman. So interesting. All right. So in other news, the House voted this week on two very important immigration bills, H.R. 6, the DREAM Act, and H.R. 1603, the Farm Workforce Modernization Act. H.R. 6, among other things, provides a green card and a special path to citizenship for any illegal immigrant who has been in the United States since January 1st, 2021, allows criminals to receive green cards, and makes it easy for illegal immigrants to get in-state tuition. That one just rankles me, I think, because I have two college-age kids, and I got two more kids that could go to college in the coming years. It blows my mind. It blows my mind that, you know, go to the front of the line. You go and you get the cheap stuff and you just remember to vote Democrat, okay? And everything will be fine. The bill passed 228 to 197 with 9 Republicans voting with the Democrats. Of note for our purposes, she was the topic of last week's newsletter because we're not that happy with her, is freshman GOP Congresswoman Maria Elvira Salazar from Florida. She voted yes on H.R. 6, the only freshman GOP woman to do so. H.R. 1603, which passed 247 to 174, provides a pathway to citizenship for illegals who work as seasonal farm workers. Many on the right argue this would take away jobs from legal citizens, but the following women, Republican women, disagreed and voted for it. Maria Elvira Salazar, Claudia Tenney, Elise Stefanik, Kathy McMorris Rogers, Jamie Herrera Butler, who also voted to impeach Trump. So we got a bit of some women that we're kind of not so sure about. And Salazar, I think, is at the top of them. Butler, pretty much there, right there with her. So both bills now go to the Senate. Keep an eye on that. Yeah, so that's what's been happening there. Here are some other headlines I wanted to flag for you this week. I guess the easiest way is for you to go over and to look at my newsletter at fierce.substack.com. But it's just a rash of things. Mike Pence endorsed Sarah Huckabee Sanders for Arkansas governor race. Kristi Noem, I'm not sure about her right now, but she is pushing for the fireworks, the July 4th fireworks at Mount Rushmore, to keep going, despite the fact that Joe Biden says that they're not going to happen. Nancy Mace, who, you know, I've given a bit of a hard time to when we started this newsletter, but she's really coming up with me, you know, on my scale of people that I like, because we got Salazar on one and we got Nancy Mace on the other. She's talking about how the tax hikes will hurt single people a lot. And she also, I believe, has started a caucus in the House for single parents, which I think is really interesting. So there's a whole mishmash of things. Various people have a lot from Kat Kamick articles about her. I really like her. I almost want to go to Florida and be in her district just cause, but who knows? So go over there. As always, my question of the week. So last week's, I decided to go not political, because when I get political, I don't get that many answers. When I go goofy, I get answers. So I like goofy. So let's do goofy. Last week's question was Peeps. You know, those little hideous marshmallow monsters. Yay or nay? So roughly 50% said yay, and the other 50 said nay, which is the correct answer. Blah. But here are some of the comments from my readers. Yay, love them. And with COVID, there was a shortage, so I'm happy to see them back. Nope, nay, never, nay. The grass in my Easter baskets always got stuck on them when I was a kid. I like them kind of stale, but mostly avoid them in favor of chocolate. Amen. But no, not the stale. Yay on Peeps, only if they're dried out, chewy, not soft. Otherwise, a hard nay. So, I don't know about you people. I don't know. I get a little nervous when people like Peeps. I don't. And now they're like out all year round, like Valentine's Peeps, Christmas Peeps, 4th of July Peeps. I don't. It's just terrible, a terrible thing. Okay, now on to this week's question. I didn't mention it above when I was talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene, but Twitter accidentally locked her account just about the same time the resolution to expel her was introduced in the House. Seriously, what bad timing. A case of terrible timing. What a silly thing to happen, Twitter. So here is your question of the week. Is it time for government to start regulating social media? There are definitely a couple schools of thought there amongst conservatives, who a lot of whom do not like regulation, don't like more government regulation. See what happens? This is what happens when I don't record on a regular basis. I trip all over myself. A lot of conservatives who don't want more government regulation, and then a lot of them who think that it's gone too far, that government needs to step in. And of course, it would have been probably far preferable when Trump was there. And by the way, Trump has announced that he is going to launch his own social media platform in the next 2 or 3 months. So I think that will be interesting to see what it looks like and how well it's received amongst conservatives and his supporters. Yeah, I think that's about it. There's a couple little tidbits in there, but you should go over to fierce.substack.com and subscribe. All right, so that's it. That's for the audio newsletter for this week. Thank you for listening. I love that you all tune in, and I've heard a couple nice comments. People found my newsletter through the podcast, so I appreciate that. I appreciate everybody listening. I'm just a mom who just kind of wants to make sure the conservative women are highlighted, their accomplishments, and I guess when they're not so Salazar, so accomplished. But yeah, thank you so much. And thank you to Ricochet for letting us be part of their audio network. You can listen on all the kinds of places where you can find your podcast. Apple, Google Play. Is Google Play a thing anymore? I don't even know. Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all those things. We're everywhere. iHeartMusic, I think that's all. But hope y'all are having a great week. If you feel free to drop me a line, or maybe leave me a comment at Ricochet or at SoundCloud or any of the places. I would love to get a conversation going. I am Fierce, F-I-E-R-C-E, at Substack.com. Would love to hear you. And again, my name is Terry. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great week. I will get back behind this microphone as soon as I can with more information. And a thank you for listening. We'll talk again on the next Smart Girl Politics podcast. Bye.